This is Steve Schrock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 597 in the series. This year's my conversation with Town Council Chair Tom Mercer, one of a series of conversations meant to provide a recap of the prior council meeting, akin to one of the many sports post-game analysis broadcasts we are all familiar with here in New England. This will be a discussion focused on the Franklin Town Council meeting of September 1, 2020. And meant to answer a couple of key questions. Okay, what just happened? What does it mean for Franklin residents and taxpayers? In the course of the discussion, we cover the following key topics. Proclamations and recognitions. The police department had two new hires and two promotions. The appointments of Richard Johnson to the Conservation Committee. A public hearing continuation from the prior session. The hearing was completed this night. They did not vote on the legislation that it was associated with, and we get into the details on why. There was a presentation and discussion with Karen McGuire, the new superintendent of schools for Tri-County Regional Voc Tech, and then an executive session from which they did return to the public to make a brief announcement around Chapter 61A for 215 Prospect Street. The show notes include links to the meeting agenda and associated documents. Our conversation runs about 29 minutes. So let's listen to my quarterbacking session with Tom Mercer. So Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, anywhere on the internet at WFPR.FM and here in the Franklin, Mass. Area local dial at 102.9 for another town council quarterbacking session with our town council chair, Tom Mercer. Tom, happy Thursday.
Well, happy Thursday to you, Steve.
Yes.
As we prepare for a nice long weekend.
Let's hope the weather, now that the rain is behind us, cooperates a little bit better. So that'll be good.
Yep, absolutely.
So we're back into, and September 1 was the first Wednesday and coincidentally a town council meeting. So we're back into almost the rhythm of the two meetings a month. And it was a little bit longer session potentially, but what we're here to do to remind the listeners is kind of condense the meeting. So what just happened? What does it mean for the Franklin residents and voters? So thank you for taking time to do so. And I think we can start with, there was a couple of little bits of technology, one issue to start with, and then an interruption, and we can just kind of wrap around that to begin with.
Sure. Again, we had a pretty bad rainstorm just as approximately half an hour, 45 minutes before our meeting started, and some wind, I guess, and a section of town, power went out in a section of town. And it just so happened that that section of town is where our TV studio is. So the internet went down at the TV studio, which, I'm not a huge technology person, but I do understand that that kind of has a trickle-down effect to everywhere. So, and you probably know more about that kind of thing than I do, but, and you were very helpful last night in helping us get, because we were able to keep the Zoom going live because we had internet at the town hall, but we didn't have internet at the studio, so that it wasn't able to be sent out to the public. So we taped it so that we could go back and show it. It did come back partway through the meeting, but it did cause for a little disruption and a late start to our meeting.
Yeah, we always like to help starting on time, and you know, a couple of minutes late, well, it's one of those things, as best led plans can be. Yeah, to recap, the Zoom session was fine and live, internet was fine at the council chambers, but getting the feed to the studio so that they could then in turn feed Verizon and Comcast wasn't available at that time. So they did record it. It will be available. But then during the meeting, it also finally came back as the power outage did get resolved with the rest of the town, and then things recovered. So we had a nice little duplication of voices at one point until we changed the settings and went back to the primary, you know, chamber voice setting as opposed to the Zoom voice setting. And then the rest of the meeting kind of went well. So, yeah. Always a challenge when technology work, as we talk, you know, it works wonderful. It's great. When it doesn't,
Yeah, for sure. For sure. You know, 20 years ago, we didn't have any of this technology. And now we don't understand how we could have gotten along without it.
Correct. Yeah, and then related to that, but, you know, more indirectly than directly, but it's overall process wise, clearly the meetings are indeed recorded. The archives are available via the town link and certainly on the TV studios pages as well, so that the minutes that are the official recording of the meeting don't get into kind of the stenographer copy that the courts do, right? And that's per open meeting law requirements. We effectively exceed that to the extent that our minutes are as detailed as they are. But I think some folks respectfully were looking for a little bit more detail in some cases, and we're not required to do that because we do have those other alternatives.
That's correct. And, you know, we are mandated by the state to do minutes and to post those minutes as soon as they are available within a period of time. But we do keep an archived record, digital archived record, so that if anybody had a question as to exactly what was said by who, when, they could go back and listen to the audio of the meeting and find out exactly what was said by whom and when. So it's a case of when these kinds of questions come up, you know, we take it for granted, but sometimes educating the community, because we have more and more viewers now,
which is all a good thing too,
on some of the requirements and some of the rules and regs that we and our charter has us do. It's important to take a minute every now and then and explain so that people understand that how we operate and why we operate that way.
Yep. And that's where, to the extent that we cover a bunch of what happens in the council in my sessions with Jamie as we talk Franklin, and then certainly in this particular section, you know, we spend 20, 30 minutes recapping what was, you know, a 3 or 4 hour meeting. And clearly in those show notes, people can then take that deeper dive as they need to, but they at least find out, oh, they talked about this or they talked about that. If we tried to get into all those details, this session would be, you know, 4 hours plus, 5 hours plus each day. So
exactly, Sid, for sure. So yeah. You know, I think our secretary that does put the minutes together does an exceptional job of getting those minutes out to the public in as succinct as possible, giving the important pieces, which is the legislation and the votes and some of the discussion. So hopefully that answered the community's question, or Jackie Machel, who was the one that came on that asked that question. Hopefully that answers it for her.
Yeah. And that just gives us an opportunity to also do something on a periodic basis, whether it's monthly or quarterly, to kind of set that table. This is what happens. This is how it happens. This is where you go to get the details, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, we can try and prepare for the next time for those. Sure. And then another recurring discussion related to this in terms of the technology, we're one of the, and I don't know exactly how many communities, but I know my daughter's in Worcester and they only have one option. But we have two options in terms of internet access via the cable with Verizon and Comcast. And that competition effectively then puts the the savings opportunities really in the hands of the residents. There's little that the town can do once the two are here, other than bringing in the two, because we should choose
exactly. Exactly. And that's, and you know, we have a couple of counselors who on a regular basis, pretty much annually, you know, ask the question, how do we, how can we reduce the cost of the internet and so forth and cable to the community, to the taxpayers? And that's really not, we don't have that power. The power that we do have is to, as you stated, we're fortunate because we have two cable companies. But the only way we can, a taxpayer or a resident could reduce their bill, so to speak, is to kind of pit one cable company against the other. And many people do that. I have a lot of friends that every 2 years they switch from Comcast to Verizon because they pit one against the other to lower the cost, and they get a good deal and they move forward with it. Unfortunately, that comes with a little bit of time and effort on the resident's part, because they have to swap out boxes and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it is a little cumbersome, but it is a way that, and the only way that we're aware of, that you can actually reduce your cable costs. And not every community has that option. When there's one cable company, you're locked. It's their way or the highway, so to speak. Yeah. And fortunately, that's one of the good reasons, and one of the reasons that we as a council continue to keep two cable companies on the hook, so to speak, in Franklin. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. And in my own experience in the 20 plus years we've been here, we started with Verizon, switched to Comcast, switched a few years ago when Verizon came in with the fiber. And have been happy. And you can switch, you can also call, maybe not, you know, monthly, but at least every year or every couple of years, and say, hey, I'm thinking of switching, and see what they say.
There you go.
And usually they'll reduce something somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So, but really the onus is on the resident in order to get that accomplished.
Right. Good. So having covered kind of those other little tidbits, we can get into the meeting proper. And the police department stepped up with part of their anticipated, you know, changes. They announced a couple of promotions, and they announced a couple of new hires. And Chief Lynch also said, well, we'll be back next time for a couple more.
Yeah, and that's true. And this is again, every time these come up, I like to remark about them, because it's great to have these things done at a council session where the community can see what's going on and maybe put some faces, some names to faces. And it gives the council an opportunity to meet the new hires. It also gives us an opportunity to congratulate the promotions as well. And last night we had Chief Lynch brought in four individuals. Nick Palmieri was promoted from detective to sergeant, and Jack Flynn was promoted from patrolman to detective. And then there were two new hires, Victoria McViker and Patrick McDonald, who were new hires and went through the ceremonial swearing in by Nancy Dinello, our town clerk, and their families got an opportunity to come and watch this ceremony. And at the same time, the wives, girlfriends, mothers, whomever they choose, do the actual pinning of the badge. So. Mm-hmm. It's a great thing. It's a great thing to watch. And these are the kinds of feel good things that we get to do every once in a while on the council.
It is indeed good to put the names and faces together, because clearly, I think, as we've talked here before, the police department, amongst other departments, are certainly going through that kind of demographics change where there's been a number of retirements. So thereby, you've got the backfill. So people are moving up the ladder as people leave, and you got people coming in net new, but within the budget, right? So they still have their X number of people. They're not expanding. They're not growing. They'd like to, but they're within, and this is the normal course of business that we're having to see a little bit more frequently in the last couple of years, because the demographics of the group that was there is they're aging out. They're starting to retire. And, absolutely, you know, that's normal.
It is normal, not only normal in the police department, fire department, in the municipal government as well, and in the private sector as well.
Yep.
They'll all be that day. In fact, I'm looking forward to that day.
Having done that, I would recommend it. It's fun.
Retirement would be a nice thing.
When appropriate, it's, you know, there's a readiness piece, and that's up to everybody's discussion. And I've certainly enjoyed my piece.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to mine.
Yeah. Well. Moving on then, Richard Johnson got appointed to an open spot on the Conservation Commission.
That's correct. That's that appointment's done by the town administrator and then ratified by the council. Jamie has done a good job trying to fill the slots that are open on some of the appointed committees that we have in the community. And it's always good for those looking to get involved a little bit to go onto the town website, look at the different committees that you might have an interest in, and watch for those openings, and they're always posted on the website, and you can get your application and download it right from the website, fill it out and get it sent in. And these are great things, and we're seeing more and more people wanting to get involved in local government. So that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, particularly, especially with, as we were talking in terms of the aging of the community, we need to get more of the younger folks involved. And I don't know, Richard, whether he fits in that category or not, but just having people change and step forward, kudos to them, by all means. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And then you went into the public hearing, which and we started discussing last week in the recap of the August 18th meeting. This had been continued because the planning board hadn't finished their discussion on this particular bylaw change. And then having had the hearing, you never actually voted on the bylaw change. You've postponed that for future because other things are in the wind, so to speak.
That's correct, Steve. So basically, this public hearing was opened at our last meeting and then continued because the planning board hadn't gone through their process yet. So we continued it till this month. The planning board did meet and did vote not to move forward. They didn't like the proposal as written. And also within that time frame, we looked at where we were with the zoning, and we just in the last couple of months have contracted with MAPC to do a complete zoning district analysis of downtown C1, and included the crossing Union Cottage area in that review. And it only makes sense if we're having this analysis done, parking would be a piece of that. And it just made good sense, which is why I removed the legislation from the agenda, because it only made sense for us to wait for that report to come in so we get some true expert reports and analysis on what they might recommend for our downtown as well as C1. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and having participated in some of the EDC listening sessions at which this was raised, and then in their follow-on sessions, from which, if I recall correctly, at least a couple of the members of the planning board had participated in those discussions as well. It seemed like something that, obviously there were many sides to it, but it still seemed like something that was still good to do. But clearly with the planning board having decided unanimously not to go forward, it also makes sense since we've got the MAPC piece underway. Then, okay, if it had been fully approved, let's go. But since it hasn't been, let's just wait till the other info comes in.
Absolutely. You know, the planning board is, you know, they certainly know a lot more about these kinds of things than I might, because they deal with them all of the time. So I think it was just a case of, because we have contracted to have this analysis done, it only made sense for us to wait and get that report, review that report, and then start the process. Mm-hmm. So that's basically where we are with that zoning, proposed zoning change 21-874. So.
Yeah, and I think from certainly a relationship perspective is the proper thing to do, although technically, and I haven't done the research to go back, but I believe there have been other decisions where the planning board didn't approve, but you still went ahead because you still have that capability to make
that's
the best
correct
decision for the community.
That is correct. And we have in the past gone against a planning board recommendation and passed some zoning bylaw changes. You know, most of the time we're in agreement, but occasionally we're not. And the council in those cases have felt that it was in the best interest of the entire community to move forward with those zoning changes. So we did. But again, this is one where it just made, I think, made good sense to wait and let's get that report and then let's get together. Let's have another public hearing. The whole process will start again.
Correct.
So it's not like this might get snuck in or something like that. The process will start from the very beginning, public hearing, referring the planning board, coming back to council. Mm-hmm. So once we have that.
And then picking up on them. Yep. And picking up on the relationship access, that was sliding into the next item on the agenda from last night. Karen McGuire, the new superintendent of schools at Tri-County, came to start from her point of view, do an introduction, and from a council point of view, meet and greet and start building on that relationship. Because Tri-County, while they do serve in that VOC capacity to the Franklin community, this is a change in management there, and now we can start building that relationship going forward.
Absolutely. It was great to have Superintendent McGuire come to the council meeting last night, and we all got a chance to meet her and have a brief discussion about, she's only been there a month and a half, so you know, she's just getting her feet wet, but I really liked the fact that she took the initiative and came forward, wanted to meet with us, and wants to meet with us on a regular basis, which is great for us and great for the community, because it gives the community because the opportunity to kind of hear what's going on at Tri-County.
Sure.
And what are the issues that they're facing, because we don't get to see that or haven't in the past. And this is kind of a new regime coming in, and having Superintendent McGuire really embrace this type of relationship, I'm all for it. Please, anytime you'd like to come and speak to us at a council meeting, I will be more than happy to put you on an agenda.
Yep. And then I took the opportunity to introduce myself as well, because in at least the last couple of years, from my own perspective in terms of communication, the newsletter, et cetera, they've been rather difficult to find out what was going on. Whereas prior, and there had to have been some change, so I encouraged her to, you know, take the time, which she already acknowledged. She's looking at things, finding their strengths, finding out where they're going to need to go. And I said, well, by the way, I would help do more communications. I used to get a regular publication on like their honor roll, on their sports things. We know, in fact, that from time to time, and most recently, they built that little gazebo picnic stand thing at Delcart. They had been instrumental in doing working on the project for affordable housing on off Beaver. I think it was Beaver Court. So they have, and they, because they've got that tech skill, the Vogue skill, there's a whole lot of things that they can do. But we don't necessarily hear about that. And that's where, for at least from a communication standpoint, you know, I'm open. I'm glad we've got some new blood there, so to speak. And I hope we can help to share their story, because I'm sure it's good.
As am I. So we look forward certainly to a great relationship and periodic updates from Tri-County.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, you closed with an executive session, although this is one of those sessions where you actually came back to public session and then made a brief statement. So there's a new property on the radar, but it's a little bit longer term opportunity because of the process.
Yes, it's a little different process, Steve, than the last piece that was brought to us. But again, it's according to Mass General laws, when a piece of property is 61A, there are processes and procedures that the landowner has to go through before changing the use of that property. So it has to be offered to the town. So what we did last night was we were just in receipt of that letter within the last few days. So where it is a little different process than the last one, I felt it was important to make sure that the entire council understood what the process was and how it worked. And again, it's the very beginning of a very long process, we have started, because once we received that letter, we have 30, the town has, or community has 30 days to get an appraisal of that property. That is the stage we are at right now, where we're looking to a licensed real estate appraiser to come in and appraise that piece of property. So that's where we are right now, trying to be as totally transparent as we can. You know, whenever you're in negotiations with parcels of property, it is executive minutes kind of information. So whatever information I can make public, and as soon as I can, that document is a public document. So the letter we received, so that's there for anybody's viewing. So that's that piece. More to come. Again, long process.
Indeed. So we'll use that as the teaser that council's coming up again in 2 weeks. And so we won't have to wait that long for other things to talk about.
For sure.
To the end that we've accomplished, we've condensed what, the 3.5 hour meeting last night to about 30 minutes or so or less, if I'm looking at the clock properly here. And thank you for taking the time to share the insights. And we look forward to doing another quarterbacking session in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good, Steve. I look forward to it as well. Please have a wonderful holiday weekend, and hopefully we'll get some nice weather from the this point on.
Absolutely. Yep. We're looking forward to that. Indeed. Thank you again. And for the listeners, stay tuned. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.